Good morning. Merry Christmas. If you have a Bible, turn to John 1. We're going to be reading from verses 1 to 18. I believe they're going to be on the screen. Let's check. Yes, it is going to be on the screen. So if you want to follow on the screen, please do. If you need a Bible, if you want a Bible, stick your hand in the air and someone will be very happy to bring you one. John 1. Starting at verse 1. Let's read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is God's word to us.
Great, please sit yourselves down. Now, boys and girls, everything's up here. Now, Glenn is going to come and teach us. Anyone seen Glenn at all?
Nathan!
What?
Nathan!
What are you doing? What are you doing out there?
I've got myself stuck outside.
But what are you doing out there? You should be in here.
I know, I should be in there. But I was messing around, being a bit naughty.
Yeah.
And I seem to have locked myself out. But wait, I've got an idea.
Okay.
Oh! No, that didn't seem to work.
That's never going to get you inside.
Sorry, Steve. I really don't like it out. It's not nice out here. I can see you all in there, and I really want to be inside. Hi, Steve. I really want to be inside with you guys. It's really not nice. Do you know what? I need someone to come out and help me. Nathan, would you come and help me?
Would you want me to let you inside?
What?
Should I let Glenn inside?
Yeah!
No.
Hey.
Sorry, Steve.
Oh, it opens outwards. That's why I couldn't push. Thank you so much. Oh.
Now you're going to teach the Bible.
Now I'm going to teach the Bible. That's not a good way to start a talk, is it? It's really not good when you're stuck outside looking in, is it? So maybe you've been locked out of your house and you can peer through the window and you can see inside and you're like, I really want to be inside. I don't want to be outside. Now, it's not just physical things where you can think, you know, I don't like being outside. We can also feel like we're outsiders, that we're stuck outside looking in. And this idea, this concept of being outside looking in, not inside, is really important. So we're going to play a quick game so that we understand this idea. So I have got some words here, and you're going to tell me, where do you think they belong? Do you think they are outside words or they are inside words? To help us get this concept. So when something is broken, where do you throw it? Where do you throw it? Where do you often put it? Outside? Yes. When something is broken, we throw it outside. How about if something belongs? When something belongs, do you bring it inside or do you throw it outside? Where do you reckon? Where do you reckon? Inside. Good work. Good work. I love the enthusiasm, Christmas morning and all that. I like it. How about joyful and happiness and fun and games? Where did that belong? That belongs inside as well. Let's stick that here. Inside. Oh, how about when you're lonely? When you're feeling lonely. You know, you can very often feel lonely in a crowded room when you feel like you can be outside of a group. People are having fun and enjoying themselves, and you can feel really lonely. You can feel like an outsider. Where do you think it belongs? Outside. I assume you said that. That's what I'm going with. Outside. How about excluded? If you've been, say someone's having a birthday party and everybody's been invited except for you, and they're all standing around talking about it, where do you think excluded belongs? Inside or outside? Outside. Excellent. I'm glad you're getting this idea. And finally, last one. Warm. When I was out there, I can tell you I was not warm. Are you guys warm in here? It's fairly warm, isn't it? It's warm in here. Where does this belong? Inside. Fantastic. Inside and outside. There's this idea, you get it in movies a lot, where there's a window. And you get it in Christmas Carol, if you've seen Christmas Carol, either Scrooge McDuck version, I've seen that, that's great, or the Muppet version, which is also great, or the real Christmas Carol movie, which I haven't seen, but told it is in there. You get this scene where Scrooge is looking through the window at the festivities that are happening inside. He is outside looking in. You get it in Toy Story 3 with Lotso, the teddy bear, who looks through the window, looks at his owner, the girl inside, with a new toy. He's on the outside looking in. The inside and outside. And do you know what? Christmas is all about insides and outsides. Not insides and outsides, but insides and outsides. But inside and outside of what? Well, let's have a look at this, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. Christmas is all about outside of God's family and inside. Here we go. And inside God's family. That's what Christmas is all about. It's all to do with being inside God's family and outside God's family. But the thing that this verse teaches us is that he gave the right to become children of God. The big implication is that me and you all start outside of God's family. We have to go down the bottom, unfortunately. We all start outside of God's family. We don't naturally belong inside God's family. We all start outside God's family. When I was little, I was very, very little. On the 2nd of December, I decided it would be a fantastic idea to eat all the chocolates in my advent calendar in one go. Has anyone done that? Has anyone on the 2nd? Yeah! Yeah, oh, Yetka has. On the 2nd of December, I decided to eat all my chocolates. It was lovely. It was a glorious moment for probably about 5 seconds. My mum found out, sent me to the naughty step. I was cast to the naughty step. I sat on the naughty step. And whilst I was sat there, sad and miserable, I spotted my brother's advent calendar. And I thought, you know what? I've got nothing better to do. So I got my brother's advent calendar. I ate all of his chocolates. And then my mum walked past. And I was in a lot of trouble. I was on that naughty step for a very, very long time. And the thing I remember about that naughty step wasn't that it was uncomfortable. It was the fact that I was away from the fun. I was outside the family. I could hear them having fun. I could hear them playing on the computer games. I could hear the TV going. But I was outside. I'd been bad, and so I was outside of what the family was doing. And that's the same with us. We are outside of God's family because of the bad things that we have done. Because of the bad things we do. Verse 10 says this: He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The idea of that did not recognize him is this idea of not living our lives with reference to him. Not acknowledging him in our lives. Actually living our lives how we want to do and putting God on the back burner. It's me getting up in the morning and thinking, what do I want to do? I want to do this, this, and this. I want to get on with my life. I want to lead my life how I want to do. I don't care about God. God, you can get lost. I don't want anything to do with you. I want to live my life my way. And that's what verse 10 says. That actually we don't recognize God. We don't recognize Jesus. We don't live our lives with any reference to Jesus whatsoever. We just get on with our lives, do our thing, and ignore God. Maybe Jesus comes out once a year. Have you got a little nativity set up? Sometimes for us, that's what we are with Jesus. We put Jesus out once a year. We see how lovely he is, and then we put him away for 11 months. He disappears. We have absolutely no we live with no reference to him, and then we get on with our lives. And then once a year, he comes out again. We live our lives, and we do not recognize him. And that is why we are on the outside of God's family. And here's the really bad news, the really, really bad news. Because in Revelation, it tells us, if we die, or if Jesus returns, and we're on the outside of God's family, we will spend all eternity on the outside of God's family. The Bible describes it as hell, where there will be pain and suffering and tears. And if we die, or if Jesus returns, and we're on this side, we're on the outside of God's family, then we will spend all eternity there. And that's terrible news. But this is Christmas. And Christmas isn't about terrible news. Christmas is about good news. And this is the good news of Christmas. If I can get this up. Here's the good news of Christmas. Jesus brings those who are outside God's family inside God's family. That's the great news of Christmas. That Jesus came to bring those who are outside God's family inside God's family. Like me stuck outside and Nathan having to come outside to let me in, Christmas is all about that. I was really happy Nathan let me in. If you guys had said, no, let's leave Glenn outside, that would have been a really bad morning for me. It's so much worse if you were stuck outside. In some countries, it's understood that when you get married, you actually enter into someone's family. Did you know that? So in some families, you get married and then you come into the family. You're part of the family. And I looked this up on the internet. In certain places in Scotland, this is what you need to do to come into someone's family. Okay, I feel sorry for the brides. But the bride gets tied up to a tree, and then the family of the groom gather all the disgusting things that they can find. So curdled milk, dead fish, spoiled food, tar, feathers, eggs, And then they throw them at the bride and absolutely cover her in muck. And then, because they're such lovely people, they leave the bride out in the woods, tied to a tree overnight. It's disgusting, isn't it? I'm glad I'm in England. I really am. Only certain parts of Scotland, I believe. But that's what, in Scotland, you need to do to get into certain families in Scotland. There's another one. It's even worse. I warn you. In certain places in Borneo, newlyweds, before they're recognized as being part of the family, for 3 days are locked into a hut and left there to get on with each other. Now, they're not allowed out even for the toilet. So they're locked in this hut for 3 days, and they're not allowed out to even go to the loo. So they've got to do all their stuff in that. That's disgusting, isn't it? Now, I know, these are the things that you have to do to get into certain families around the world. The things that you have to do to get inside from being outside. So here's the question. How do we get inside God's family? How do we get from here over to here? How do we do it? Well, verse 13, just have a look at verse 13, because verse 13 has three knots. So children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, and not of a husband's will. You see, you don't get inside God's family because your mum and dad are Christians. You don't get inside God's family because your brother or your sister are Christians. You don't get inside God's families because one of your relatives knows and loves Jesus. That's not how you get in there. Or human decision. So it's not by human effort. Did you see how hard I tried to get in? Did you see how hard? Steve saw. Steve wrote it down. It's not by human effort that you get in. So you might be sitting there and you might be thinking, do you know what? I'm in God's family because I'm a good person. I do good things. I grew up going to youth group. I grew up doing all these things. I'm in God's family. Do you know what? That doesn't mean you are in God's family. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can do whatever you want. But those things do not mean you are inside God's family. And the third one, or a human's will, or a husband's will. You can't marry in to God's family. You might be a husband, you might be a wife, and your husband or your relative husband or wife loves Jesus. That does not mean you are inside God's family. Just because you marry somebody who loves Jesus does not mean that you are inside God's family. If that describes you, if you think that you're inside God's family because one of your family relatives is, or because you've tried really hard, you've tried to be really good, or you're married to someone and you think one of those things means that I must be inside with God, I must be on his good books, no, it doesn't. It means you're still out here. So how do we get into God's family? Well, there's the answer in verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who receive Jesus, those who take him in, who make him their king, and really want to live their lives for him, those who receive him, are those who were brought from the outside to the inside. It's not difficult to give you an analogy of what it looks like to receive. Do you want some sweets? You want some sweets? Here you go. That's what it's like to receive. They just take. Hands out. It's a free gift. You let me in. It's a free gift. And there are much more of these for you kids. So at the end, sorry, Steve. At the end of the service, if you haven't already got one, we've got loads of these in there. Come and find one of either me or Armel. You don't mind, do you? Yeah, excellent. Come and find me and Armel. But receiving Jesus is the idea of knowing that Jesus did it all. Jesus took care of my naughtiness. He took care of the thing that it means I'm outside of God's family and brought me in. How did he do this? Just as I finish, I just want to have a look at this. You see, Jesus naturally belongs inside God's family. That's where he naturally belongs. He never lived his life ignoring God. He never got up in the morning and thought, what do? I don't care about God. He always lived his life with reference to God. But listen to this from Matthew 27. So this talks about as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said this. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew tells us that Jesus, who naturally is inside God's family, became an outsider. It's like Jesus went and sat on that naughty step. Jesus went, took the punishment that we deserve. He came outside, got kicked out of God's family, so that I could come inside God's family. And that's the glorious news of Christmas. That is what Christmas is all about. How Jesus, who was inside God's family, Jesus who loved being with God, came to earth, went to the cross, took our punishment so that we could no longer be outsiders of God, outside God's family, but so that we would be inside God's family. I pray this Christmas that you would rejoice in the fact that you are able to be brought from outside God's family to inside God's family. You can come from this, from the possibility of spending all eternity kicked out in hell to the possibility of spending all eternity with God. Now, I know this isn't what everybody had, but growing up, I had a family who loved me. I loved spending Christmas with my family, and it was amazing being inside. How much more amazing would it be to be inside God's family with God for all eternity? So as I finish, I'm going to finish here. I want to ask this question. I want you to answer this in your head, not out loud. Where are you? Where are you this Christmas? Are you outside God's family? Or have you received Jesus, that free gift? And have you been brought inside of God's family where you will spend eternity? I'm going to pray, and then the musicians are going to come up, and we're going to sing our last song, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that even though we belong outside, we belong to be stuck outside because of our naughtiness, because of our badness, because of our wickedness, we thank you that Jesus came. He became like an outsider, got kicked out, took the punishment we deserve so that we might come into his family. We thank you for that. We thank you that if we die or if you return, we will spend all eternity inside the family, rejoicing and glorifying you. Please, Lord, this Christmas, would you help us to remember this truth? Would we not be distracted by presents and tinsel and things like that? But would you help us to remember the true meaning of Christmas, which is all about your Son for your glory? Amen.